Brothers and sisters in Christ, man lives not by bread alone, but from every word that flows from God. Our themes today are about geometry, parallels and coming together, faith and your relationship with God. Language is important in the Jewish Kabbalistic beliefs. They feel that God created the universe by writing the Hebrew alphabet in fiery white light on the formless board. And in the Gospel of John, in the Johannine tradition, what? He introduced logos. The idea that God's word affects the physical form of the universe. In Genesis 4, we have the story of Cain and Abel. And this is a story that you find in every children's Bible. But without a little understanding, it can be very confusing. I don't know how many times as a Sunday school teacher, the children said to me, "Dr. Scott, I don't understand. Doesn't God like vegetables? Why was he unhappy with Cain's actions?" But we find the answer to that. We find the crux of the lesson in Genesis 4. In verse 7, God tells Cain that if his spirit is right, and the Hebrew words refer to his orientation with respect to God, go back to the original Hebrew, then his sacrifice, his zebah, would be accepted. Well, now God's words become prophetic, foreshadowing, because when God rejects Cain's gift, we understand that it's not that God likes them better than vegetables. It's because Cain's heart was not right. His orientation God and goodness was incorrect. And it comes as no surprise that later in that chapter, Cain sins. Now the word sin itself is an old archery term that means the distance from which you miss the mark. See, God's book is all full of mathematical goodness. Any sin is intolerable to our holy and perfect God. Hatred and jealousy are already unmanifested murder. Sin leads to death. Our own deaths, and in the case of Cain and Abel, death and murder. God's word and his purpose for us is further revealed in Ephesians today. In Ephesians, God tells us that the solution, while we richly deserve death, this undeserved mercy, through God's grace, we are saved through faith. Faith is our orientation to God. It's our orientation to God. Our direction determines where we go. Mr. Robbins, the famous motivational speaker, once took a class as a race car driver. And he ran into a wall at 125 miles an hour. And the instructor, after, unfortunately, Mr. Robbins was not injured, but after that accident, he reviewed the film several times, and he said, "What happened, Mr. Robbins, what happened while you were driving that car?" He said, somewhat indignantly, he said, "Didn't you see the tape? This wall came at me at 125 miles an hour, and I hit it." And the instructor said, "The good drivers try to look where they're going. And if you would have looked around the curve, then the car would follow where you wanted it to go. But you saw that wall coming at you, you had your eyes lit, and that's the only place you." Our orientation determines where we're going to go. Cain's orientation led him to murder. Cain's orientation led him to murder. In Ephesians, we start oriented to evil, walking to death. But through faith, our orientation changes, and we walk in the path that God made us for, the path of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we were not created by God to die. We were not created for sin. We were created to walk with God in life, to walk to that path of eternal life, to have our orientation on God, to have our eyes lifted to his holy presence. It is a reconciliation with God. It is that reconciliation with God, our momentum that brings us to God. It's the opposite of sin, separation from God. Reconciliation means what? To bring together. To bring our path to that holy path. To change our direction in life. Our psalm today also reinforces this message. In the Midrash, which is the collected wisdom of thousands of years of rabbinic scholars, Psalm 50 is highlighted as a particularly interesting example of correlation between faith and sacrifice and salvation. It's one of the very, very few places where we find the terms zebach and toda used together, two Hebrew terms. Separately, zebach means sacrifice. So when they made the sacrifice in Genesis, the term was zebach. And independently, toda means God's righteous judgment. But together, they take on the meaning of a sacrifice that's judged by God based on your relationship with God is unimpressed with the sacrifice unless the sacrifice is done in the spirit of thanksgiving. And it doesn't have to be a physical sacrifice. We can sacrifice many things. We've talked about sacrificing our time, our talent, and our treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. Any of those things are worthy sacrifice to God. If we do it in the spirit of thanksgiving, or rightness with God, and then the parallel with Genesis is absolutely completed when we look at verse 20. That a wrong attitude is a slander against you. It says first, our brother, and then to clarify, it says, our mother's son. Now who's our mother's son? Our brother. Because we could interpret, God always makes things clear if we look for it. We could interpret our brother as being anybody, right? But he made it absolutely clear in this psalm that he was talking about a physical brother. And what is that parallel? It parallels our story this morning from Genesis. You see the connection. Because our word, the word of God, is complete and self-referential. We allow it to be. As is always the case, the gospel completes the message. In Luke 18, Christ relays the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I love our God. Luther said that we are so fortunate because most religions have stories about their gods, but we have a God who tells stories. And isn't that a wonderful blessing to have a God who tells us stories? Parable comes from the Greek word parabolos, and sometimes we confuse parable with fable, right? Fable's another Greek term. What did Aesop write? Aesop wrote fables, which are instructional tales, but parabolos is, if people chose these words carefully, parabolos is a special shape that focuses everything coming into it to a single point. It always focuses light to a single point. It comes into a parabolic shape. Conversely, it's full of parallels. If you shine a light into a point and focus in a parabolos, a parabola comes out of parallel. And you'll notice that in every parallel story in the Bible, every parable in the Bible, there are many parallels, and I want to point out a particularly important parallel that was in the gospel today. We have a tax collector. If you go back to the original Greek, it refers to him who's worth nothing, and because of his sin, is separated from the people. Those are what the words literally mean that describe the tax collector. Now, sometimes, like in our story of Cain and Abel, that's in the children's Bible, we don't get a full sense of what's going on if you think about it too closely in terms of today. I want you to take a historical understanding of that away today. A tax collector in the time when Christ walked in the flesh amongst us, when he was incarnate here on earth, was a person who worked for a foreign occupier, a brutal oppressor, when crucifixions were a common punishment. So imagine that you have somebody who's voluntarily working for a foreign oppressor. Then, how did they make their money? They would have made no money if they had just collected the taxes that Caesar commanded. They had to make it through bribes, extortion, and graft. So now you've got somebody who not only is working for a foreign imposer, voluntarily, but they're also voluntarily making their money by extorting more out of you than is even required by the law. Sometimes we refer to Matthew or the tax collector in this particular parable as the same as an IRS agent, and you usually get a chuckle when the pastor says, well, would you like an IRS agent? And people say, no, I guess not. But it doesn't really carry the full weight of just how despised those tax collectors were. And that's important to understand. The word Pharisee, or parallel in this, is also, what does Pharisee mean in the original language? It's someone who has separated themselves. That's what it means. Someone who has separated themselves. And it then further clarifies that this particular Pharisee means someone who's trying to separate themselves by trying to walk in the law. But now we've got a parallel, right? We've got someone who's separated by society through their actions. And we've got another who chooses to be separated from. But now God turns things on its head because our earthly wisdom doesn't lead us to where we need to go, does it? Whose prayer was accepted by God? The tax collector. And why? Why was his accepted? His orientation was completely different, wasn't it? The orientation of the tax collector was completely different. The tax collector was reconciled with God. Brothers and sisters, God calls us today to leave our paths, our orientation of sin and death. He calls to each of us today. He calls us through faith, through His grace, that undeserved mercy. Because all our good works are as what? As filthy rags to hell. Through Christ's sacrifice, our judgment, the rightful judgment of death, is commuted. Sin is defeated, and our orientation shifts to Christ, to cavalry, and to salvation. Please stand.